Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, founder of the Dementia Whisperers Incorporated. Laura Wayman, nationally recognized expert on dementia and author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, published by Johns Hopkins University Press, joins you and 16 million caregivers with real answers and help, with love, wisdom, and compassion for your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in at 929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393. And now, live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Are you caring for a loved one, a resident or client who's presenting dementia symptoms and challenging behaviors? Our vision is to open up discussion in order to greatly improve quality of care and excellence in service to individuals with Alzheimer's disease or any dementia and related illnesses, and to lend a reassuring hand to their caregivers and families. This is an interactive call-in show, and we want to hear from our listeners, and we remind you, our first two callers today do receive a copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care from Laura Wayman, her second edition out now. It's all updated and everything else from Johns Hopkins University Press. And that call-in line is 929-477-1393. And now, without further ado, it is Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer.
Thank you, Scott, for that wonderful introduction, as always. You know I'm so honored to be here with you. And could you just take a minute to tell our listeners about you? You are such a media professional, and you do such exciting things for your community and nationally. You have a radio show. You have had radio shows in the past. You've worked in the TV media. So just tell the world a little bit about you, Scott.
Well, thank you, Laura. It's very kind of you. And actually, I'm kind of very interested and fascinated to talk with our special guest today, because Strategic Dining Services does work around the field of food, food service preparation, quality over quantity, and a lot of issues. And as I was mentioning to Rhonda, our guest, before we got started, that working with Lyme, Healthy Living with a Twist Radio on Sirius Satellite, it was a major focus. And Dr. Andrew Weil, I actually co-hosted his show and helped him learn the ropes of radio, and learned a lot with Dr. Weil and his institute out in Arizona, and the great food work that he does and nutrition and so on. So that's always been a component of a lot of work. I worked here with Marion Bell, a healthy lifestyle coach in Houston, for over 38 years now, who also works to support people with various eating specialty challenges. And so when we start talking about dementia and Alzheimer's and senior care, those are very unique challenges for proper nutrition and for a pleasing palate as well. So that's just some of my background. And I've worked in a lot of restaurants too.
Yes, and we are so fortunate that we came together. And Scott
yes.
is very, very interested in teaching people to raise their dementia awareness, to understand why everyone needs to have their dementia awareness in every career across the United States. This is a silent pandemic, and everyone will be touched by dementia in one way or another. If you are not diagnosed with dementia symptoms, then perhaps you're caring for somebody who has dementia symptoms, and if you're not yet, you will be. And Scott, you've been a caregiver too, haven't you?
Yes, I have, for both my late mother-in-law and my late wife at the same time.
And that was really hard. And you know the impact that caregiving can have on that family caregiver and even the professional caregiver. You know, it's so difficult that they suffer from huge amounts of burnout. And we just need to utilize education and support to try and get as much help as we can to both the professional and the family caregiver. So I want our dear listening audience to know you are not alone. So if you have worries or concerns or anxieties, you want advice, inspiration, encouragement on your dementia care journey, you've certainly tuned into the right place. So stay with us today, because today our very special guest, Rhonda J. Peters, is Vice President of Strategic Dining Services. And Scott, can you do a little introduction for Rhonda, like you always do, and Strategic Dining for us, please?
Yeah, I'd love to. And this is a new service for me to be aware of, and the strategic partners involved have so much great expertise and background and service. And also, I really support their values they're coming from, as far as the way that they're positioning what they do and why. Strategic Dining Services is out of Illinois. David Kohling is the president. He's nationally known as a restaurateur. He's pioneered fine cuisine on the dinner cruise market, but more than that, he's worked for a number of fine facilities over the years, and then also as the Vice President of Corporate Services for Senior Lifestyle Corporation, which operates more than 80 retirement communities nationally. So they have a deep background. It's not just great restaurateurs or food service specialists coming into the industry, but coming from the industry. And so that's a very key aspect of the work they do. And in the conjunction with that, Rhonda J. Peters, the Vice President of Marketing Sales for Strategic, also worked with David at that time, and is now 19 years of sales and marketing management experience in hospitality, senior living industry, director of sales and hospitality industry, is a sound foundation for sales and marketing, of course, in senior living, and was vice president of marketing at Senior Lifestyle Corporation. So she really developed a complete new branding, their whole media platform and so on, and has worked across the board. Also holds a Bachelor of Arts in Hotel and Restaurant Management from the University of Wisconsin, which doesn't hurt at all, does it, Rhonda?
No, it's a great foundation. And thank you for that great introduction.
Yeah, welcome to our show. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. Yes, we're very passionate about the dining experience. You know, for everyone, dining is so important. All of us talk about the dining experience we had when we're with friends or family, you know, what we ate, what we're going to eat, who's fixing what. And food never loses that excitement and reason for gathering. So we think it's really important all through the continuum, it should be really as good as we can make it.
So, Rhonda, tell us a little bit about how you got into this field.
Well, as you know, the introduction was I started in the hospitality industry and worked in hotels. And I was in the Chicago area, and some of my colleagues from the Chicago area and other areas too were starting to get into the senior living industry, and senior living was trying to, you know, pull more of the hospitality focus into, you know, the industry, so that there was, you know, a better balance of institutional services along with hospitality. And so I was drawn into that because the meaning of hospitality and creating a great atmosphere for people to enjoy was something I really thought was needed and valued in senior living. And once, you know, for all of us from hospitality that went to senior living, once we got into senior living and saw the value of what we could bring, we were all just hooked, and all of our lives changed.
And it can be a real challenge. We're going to talk about some of those challenges here in a minute, but do you mind just giving our listeners a little overview of your organization? I found it quite fascinating, and I'm sure that many of our listening audience, they probably don't understand all the different absolutely complex parts of this whole retirement and senior living industry that there are, and dining is a really very important part of this. We all have to eat. We all have feelings associated with eating. we all have socialization associated with eating. And so it's not just putting a meat and potatoes on the table. It has a lot to do with other things that really, it's interesting because Strategic Dining Services is committed to really presenting all of these different things. So give a little overview about who is Strategic Dining Services so the listeners can understand why you're on the show today and what we're talking about so that they can become much more dining aware, I guess is what we want to do today.
Sure. Well, in the industry, we found as we both worked, you know, here in Chicago with a company that grew by acquisition. And we saw a lot of different dining programs, some that had third-party management contracts and others that were just trying to hire the right person. And so many times the third-party contracts were, not really providing anything spectacular. And, it was mediocrity running rampant almost every time. And what we saw was that the industry really needed some help for those smaller companies that didn't have the corporate overhead for the corporate dining support for the field and regional support and education and so forth. There was nowhere for the smaller companies to go for help. They just hoped they hired the right person. So we pooled our talent, and we talk about being a hybrid of a third-party management company and a consultant. We're kind of in the middle because we really feel that the employees should be employed by the community so that everybody's focused on the success and the happiness of those residents and not reporting to a third party. And then, we supply the training, support, and resources for those employees. So we bring the expertise that we've gathered over the years and from hospitality into
yes.
that particular community.
So that I was going to say Strategic Dining Services didn't create the rubber chicken then. I'm glad to know that.
Right. Yes,
No rubber chicken.
Everything.
It's interesting as you – go ahead, Rhonda.
Everything that we – every client we work with is unique and different, not only because of its location, but the talent that they have in their culinary department. And most of all, the residents are all different. So we also feel that there's no cookie cutter or rubber chickens in anything that we do. We really
right.
work with the teams to see who their clients are, their residents, what their talent is, what their goal is as a community, what's their price point, what's their budget, where do they fall in the marketplace, who are they trying to attract. That's how we then build their dining program and all the training at the different levels of care, if it is levels of care or if it's specifically memory care. Who are your clientele? Let's reach out to them because they need things that are familiar to them, not just because we have a program to provide.
Right. Well, I had the wonderful opportunity and honor to be in a building where I'm also doing consulting for my dementia program, and I happened to be there the day that that Randy Barnett, the Director of Operations at Strategic Dining Services, he happened to be in there, and I actually saw from a single point of view from my perspective how important it is that this happens in buildings and that I was very impressed with your whole perspective, like you just said, about how everybody is an individual. There's not a one perfect plan that fits everybody, and it fits so much in my program as well, because what I say is if you've met one person with dementia, you've only met one person with dementia. And
mm-hmm.
as I travel around, Rhonda, I see in many different buildings exactly the challenges that you're talking about if they don't have a company like you to come in and help. But I also see it in in each department, like we were talking about, for example, in assisted living, there's so many moving parts that have to be working all together. And I've been an executive director as well, and I know one of the challenges was that there was always a lot of complaints about food. You know, the vegetables were too mushy. The vegetables weren't done well enough. But it was so much more than just the operations that was going on. It was the emotional and social impact and how the food service makes these folks feel. So let's talk a little bit about that, because I know you do look into that, and you have lots of different different techniques, lots of different knowledge that you bring into this whole dining experience that helps the clients experience a enhanced level of a dining experience overall. Mm-hmm. So maybe we could talk about some of the challenges that you've seen and how you found solutions, or some of the successes that you've had. Let's talk about some individual things that you've learned, because that's one of the things I know you love to do, I know Randy loves to do, is we all learn from each other. So tell us a little bit about some of the things that you feel like you've made a difference by changing in the way that things used to be done, for example.
Well, first of all, you know, we say that everyone eats with their eyes first, and you know, when you talk about supporting the dining team, it's just more than recipes and menus. It's really taking the care and the passion for ordering the right food and handling it well, but then really presenting it so that it is presented in a way that is inviting. And I think, you know, in the past, and you know, hopefully in the distant, it'll be distant past soon, but you know, retirement communities didn't pay attention to that. They were just putting food out, and they were maybe having the dietitian make sure that the nutrition was there, but too many times it was a lot of prepared products, pre-prepared for products that they thought looked good, and you know, thought they were fulfilling what they needed to do by getting the meals to the residents. But that's just not really, I guess, being good stewards of the residents' money that they pay to live in a nice community or any community. So when you really focus on fresh food and remove all the pre-prepared products, the sodium level goes down for the all the residents who are dining, and the presentation then starts to look better, the taste is better, colors are better, and you know, the residents feel that they're getting the attention that they deserve. Too many times in the past, just making sure they had a meal was the focus, and people really weren't paying attention to the quality of the food. And for memory care specifically, they just did the best they could and tried to help the residents eat what they could. But now there's so much more focus on the quality. And many times in a continuing care retirement community where, you know, residents go through the continuum, and, you know, we talk about assisted living and memory care, but honestly, throughout a community, which we call CCRC, Continuing Care Retirement Community, there is some forms of dementia or Alzheimer's throughout that whole community. And so having that awareness in all dining rooms, not just memory care dining rooms, but to really recognize what's happening and to treat all diners with the individuality, to make sure they're eating enough nutrition as well as the hydration, you know, that we speak about quite often too. So it's more than just putting food on the table.
Yeah, does that also translate to not just working with the dietitian on residents or the kitchen, but the particular nutritional needs of the resident so that there's customization within the meal. I mean, I really appreciate the fact that Strategic Dining Services focuses on fresh. That's very important. And a lot of people think in terms of large companies dealing in food, and they think in terms of, sort of, like we were talking, one size fits all, and that's not the case. But to what degree does your company try to understand the individual dietary needs and specifically challenges like Laura faces with the communication side all the time and the relational side of those with exhibiting some form of Alzheimer's dementia when it comes to food? Because there are challenges with their perception, you know, there are challenges with their taste, there are challenges with their I don't want to.
Right.
Or, you know, where's my strawberry jello? I always have strawberry jello. Well, you're back in your 13-year-old right now, and that's not what we're serving. Mm-hmm. So what are there some challenges like that where it gets individualized by strategic dining services to the client? And how's that liaison handled? Is that directly to the dietitian to find out what's needed, and then there's, you know, adjusting or a customization within the menu or what's available?
It's a partnership with a dietitian, but first of all, you know, the meeting with the family when a new resident moves in to understand the background of the resident, understand about the family and what kinds of foods, you know, were their favorites and what is absolutely they don't want, you know. So we have the culinary team, you know, take notes and understand that. Because if we're serving something that is not going to work, you know, for a particular resident, then we know to make an alternative that is, you know, much more agreeable to that resident. As we, you know, we talk about restaurant style dining, and that goes again through the continuum. If we know our residents, and we should, that's what we talk about, that passion about understanding your residents and who is, you know, not going to eat meatballs, and they just don't, that's just not what they want. So you prepare something else because you know that already, and you know who likes their vegetables to be cooked to oblivion, but not everybody likes that either. So you don't just go to the lowest common denominator and hope most of the people like it. And it also goes back to you eat with your eyes first, too. So once you understand what they're likes are, then how you present it is the next step,
and
to sometimes make it fun.
There's a lot more to Rhonda, as you know, about just not what they see, because someone with dementia begins to lose the ability to process what they see, and so often what they're processing, what they see, is not the same as what we are actually processing and putting on their plate. And so I often talk about this, but as you lose more and more normal brain function, it is really necessary, and you become very vulnerable to the fact that everyone around you needs to be dementia aware and understand that you have basically a broken thinker, and that has to do with the way you process the world. Not necessarily, you know, we talk about memory, but that's not our biggest challenge. Our biggest challenge is the fact that that these folks are losing the ability to process the world around them, which actually helps them to exist. And part of that is processing what you see. And you know, we'll probably break this down throughout the whole hour, because it's what they see, what they feel, the texture, the sounds, the smells. But when you're processing normally, all that's great. When you're not, then you need people around you who think for you. And so, and you know, I see that you all are starting with the fresh ingredients, and your teaching that innovation in presentation, but sometimes it's backing up and also making it even more simple for someone. For example, I was just in a memory care community. Actually, it was an assisted living, and there was one of the residents there who was having an extremely difficult time communicating with a new staff member. She kept saying, "I don't know what to order," and the staff member who had not been trained yet, the dining person, kept trying to give her a menu and say, well, here, look, here's all of our specials. And the problem was she could see it, but she couldn't process what it was. So it was as if she couldn't see it. And so the dementia programmer who I was working with, I said, you need to help this staff member because it's going to escalate because he's just basically trying to give her too much information that she can't process because she has a broken thinker. So we pulled the staff aside, and we just worked for a few minutes getting that person dementia aware and saying, if you look in the kitchen where they're on the whiteboard, there's all these dietary preferences or needs or requirements for each of the residents. It's all there. One of them is this particular resident, and the best way to approach her is to say, today is chicken salad, that's your favorite, here it is. Instead of saying, what do you want, it's so necessary to think for them. And that's so counterintuitive to these folks that are trained in assisted living because we're trained to ask questions and give options. And it's the opposite when there's someone who has that loss of normal brain function, but you have to meet them at their loss and meet them at their accomplishment. So someone else sitting at that same table might benefit, even if they have a little dementia symptoms, they might benefit from asking them because they still have that ability in their thinker, in their brain, to process that. And it doesn't cause so just like you were talking about, and it's so important, and I'm always so happy when I hear folks in the whole dementia care industry understand that you have to be fluid and flexible. You have to be able to change your approach and meet the needs of that person, and you always only give them the information they can handle with the recognition they probably can handle less and less. So, you know, that should be part of that whole whiteboard that says this is this dietary requirement. This particular person does better if you don't ask a lot of questions. It's not just they have to have softer foods or they can't have milk. Or it's all of the part of my program that makes it so important that we honor that individual's social and emotional loss and ability and balance that constantly. That's really what is so important. And it takes a little while to help staff understand that because they're so used to just task-oriented, ask the question, get it done, and there's so much more involved and it has to be so specialized with their communication when someone has dementia. And that is so true with dining as well, just like you're talking about and you're aware of. But I really think it helps our listening audience and families and just everyone to understand when we're talking about dementia awareness, especially with dining, it helps them to have more realistic expectations about what we can expect that person with dementia to be able to process and then step in and process for them. It seems, like I said, so counterintuitive, not what we've learned, and it takes practice. You know, we all have to practice this.
Right, and so many of the communities have young servers that, you know, they've had very little training just in serving. A lot of times it's their first job, you know, and they just have the basics, and they haven't been given any of these finer details about, you know, dementia and Alzheimer's and how to handle themselves. And like you said, before it escalates, please give them some some very fine points.
Yeah, they tend to be wrapped up in how they're doing their job. Did they look right? Is the plate clean? That. But over there, it sometimes takes experience or training or a Laura Wayman, if you will, to put yourself into the chair, into the saddle, you know, into the being you're serving rather than giving them the service you think they need or want, into discovering who they are at that time, and what their wants
moment,
and needs
yeah.
are. And then how to shape that and mold that with the resources you have available to you. It's very, like you said, ladies, there's a lot of moving parts.
And there's so many moving parts and so much that we have to pay attention to. And what I've found also is that the more you help people understand why it feels this way. So the kind of the inside-out view of dementia and why people have such a difficult time understanding what you're saying, what they're seeing, how to process, the easier it is for them to learn to change their care approach. So we're going to take a quick break because we're halfway through the hour already. This time always flies by.
Amazing.
When we have such an interesting guest like Rhonda today. But we're going to take our mid-show break. And when we come back, let's talk about why it's necessary to really delve in and help even these younger folks coming into this industry understand why they have to change their perception of dementia, why we have to transform them and really, at this point, make this the differentiator in all of these, with dining and housekeeping and just the care staff and activities, why we have to turn the wheel of this ship before we continue to keep hitting icebergs in dementia care. So we'll be back, and we'll talk about that right after the break. And, Scott, thank you so much. Would you take us into our little mid-show break?
Absolutely, and I would also like to hear more from Rhonda, and it's R-O-N-N-D-A, capital D-A, unusual spelling there, Rhonda.
Yeah,
that
thank
mom or
you.
Dad.
My
that
dad,
mom or dad
gave that
both.
To me.
Okay, it's Rhonda J. Peter. She is Vice President Marketing and Sales for Strategic Dining Services out of Illinois. They got a great website. Check it out for yourself if you know a facility looking for that kind of support. I'd like to know some of your perceptions, too, of coming from the sort of the culinary, fine dining, the cruise, and moving into the marketing, into the senior care, and how your perceptions about food service and what the real goals might have changed or shifted. I'll be interested in that, maybe. We'll be back with more. Do stay with us after these reminders here on Live with the Dementia Whisperer. That, of course, is Laura Wayman. You're listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in with your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Call 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much, for taking me out to the park, for reading me books, for
taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot in ballet rehearsal,
for leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom, for having the chance to take you to the park, for reading you those books we enjoy so much, for being able to take you to your therapies after you twisted your ankle, for understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. And in your new role, we help you help. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to get practical health and wellness tips to provide even better care for your loved one. Remember, visit aarp.org/caregiving. AARP, we help you help. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 4 number one albums, 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 7 Grammy Awards, 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism, 1 in 68. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Autism Speaks, it's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Call in at 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. And now, Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Welcome back to the show live here on Blog Talk Radio. This is co-host Scott Cluthie. It's great to have you out there. Do remind you again, by the way, we know a lot of people listen to the show as archives later, but if you call in live right now, you're going to get a, let me get over here, because I'm always messing up the title. That's why I hold books in my hands so I can see what I'm looking at. You, the first two callers, will get a free copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, Making Meaningful Connections with the Person Who Has Alzheimer's Disease or Other Dementia or Memory Loss, authored by, yes, the one and only Laura Wayman. Her second edition from Johns Hopkins University is out, is out now. Now, that's a big darn deal. So look for that. And the call-in line is 929-477-1393. Don't be shy. Call in with a question or comment. You don't have to be an expert. Nobody's really an expert. Life is a process. So we will learn along with you or share your story about dining and senior care with us. Our special guest today is Rhonda J. Peters. She is the Vice President of Marketing and Sales for Strategic Dining Services. And this is the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Scott. Thank you so much. And this is such an exciting, I know people are going, why are you talking about dining? But this is such an exciting conversation because, and we were just talking about this at the break with our guest, Rhonda Peters, who is the Vice President. It comes from Strategic Dining Services, and she's the Vice President of Marketing and Sales, and she's here with us. But we were just talking about some examples of, and it's horrific and so disappointing, when you walk into a community that is supposed to be providing memory care, because as I talk about all the time, it takes specific training in all the areas of memory care to really provide appropriate care. It takes ongoing training. It takes practice. It is utilizing these different skills and really diving into making sure that this is a individual and customized approach to every single person. And that's hard in a community. And I understand it takes a lot of work, but it is so rich in the rewards when you find that individual approach, and especially with dining, because there's so much background, traditions, feelings about food. There's even a really strong feeling sometimes around food of shame and guilt. There's joy and
personal
and
history.
Personal history is so important, especially when someone with dementia is beginning to lose the ability to process the world around them. And so I've seen often when organizations have the mistaken belief that you're going to have a assisted living and turn it into a memory care and not do any kind of training and unlearning and relearning and all of the departments, it is just so horrible it's cruel to expect your staff to be able to treat someone in dementia care the same way they would treat somebody with assisted living. It actually makes everything worse. And so, Rhonda, we talked a little bit about that on the break. Would you like to talk a little bit about what you've seen in that? Because I just get so excited when I hear somebody that is dementia aware and they know, you know, we have to turn this around. So tell me a little bit about the kinds of things that you've seen.
Well, that the example of a community deciding to change a wing or a floor from assisted living to memory care because there's more demand, and so they can charge more for those rooms, and so we'll change the sign on that part of the building to now memory care. And the people who are serving the residents there, which, you know, there are instantly residents living in that area, have no idea the additional care and so forth to be taken. And in the dining area, what we so often find is an overabundance of fish sticks, chicken fingers, and french fries being served.
Yep.
And it's just a shame. And so, and they wonder why the residents aren't eating and they're not communicating with them. And many times the kitchen will, you know, send a cart of pre-plated or whole pans of food and put in a steam well in the memory care area and just dish it up. Now, that food has deteriorated from the time it left the kitchen, and often it sits and waits till, you know, the residents are seated or, you know, things are not as fluid as in the assisted living dining room. So the servers aren't sure quite how to handle things, so service takes longer and they're not sure what they're doing because all of a sudden the dining room is not, you know, consistent or anything about it consistent. So the food deteriorates, the people then don't eat it, and no one knows how to fix it. So we've just walked into some just horrible situations like that. And so any of the dining rooms that you visit, Laura, or that any of your listeners visit, really pay attention to how they're handling dining. Because if they're committed to excellence in dining, that excellence is for everyone that lives at the community. And fresh food prepared well and served appropriately, everyone deserves that.
And accommodating for the loss, too, is so important. I had a phone call a few years ago that really taught me on a deeper level about how we need to change our approach from that, you know, restaurant-style dining is important, but we have to change our approach and simplify. So this community mm-hmm. called me, Rhonda, and they said, our people aren't eating. And I said, well, let me come observe. And so when I got there, this is what was happening. First of all, they did not have a separate dining room for their memory care residents. They would bring their memory care residents through the locked door, parade them down the hall, and then set them on an end of the very, very busy assisted living. So you can see they were on overwhelm the minute they got there. And there was just so much for them to process. So this was the way that it all happened, and it was so sad because really they were believing they were giving these folks a excellent dining service, not understanding that the changes needed to happen. So they sat them down, and then it took several minutes, and they came out with a fruit cup. And the table was all set with plates and salad plates and knives and forks and these beautiful centerpieces, and it was just napkins and all this. So first of all, they're on overwhelm. What do I do with the napkin? And no one was there to actually think for them or help them. So they're just kind of looking around. It's noisy. They're confused. And then all of a sudden a fruit cup appears in front of them. And they don't know, most of them didn't know which utensil to use. And the dining staff was not at all dementia aware. So they just kind of walked away. So many of them were eating the fruit with their fingers or trying to eat it with a knife or, you know, and were getting extremely frustrated. But then when they were done with that, there was another period of time that nothing was happening. So they started to get up. And so the dining staff, oh, no, here's your salad. So then all of a sudden a salad appears, and they're trying to process, what is this? What am I supposed to do with it? There's different salad dressings on the table. They, you know, trying to pour the cream on the salad and which utensil do I use. And then so, that whole episode was another mess, and they're starting to look more and more agitated, more confused, actually frightened. So they're starting to leave again. Then all of a sudden they come out with the cart, and they're asking them at this point, after they're totally overwhelmed, would you like chicken or fish? Now, all of this sounds perfectly normal for somebody with assisted living who doesn't have this loss of normal brain function. But by now they're starting to go, I don't care. I just want peace and quiet. Go away. So they're saying, I'm not hungry. I've already eaten. No, you haven't eaten. So there's a lot of angst and arguing, and everybody's unhappy, and people are trying to leave. So finally they get most of them sitting there, and they start – they say, would you like chicken or fish? Well, usually they just say that one, the last one they said, fish, because they couldn't remember the first one anyway, and they couldn't process all that. So then they've got this huge plate of food, and it's got, the potatoes, the starch, it's got the vegetables, and it's got the entree. So what that happens is they would eat what was right in front of them. So however they set the plate down, If the 6 o'clock position, if you were thinking of the plate as a clock, they would eat that, and then they thought they were done. because the rest of it they just couldn't process. It was just too much information. They'd push the plate away, and they're saying, see, they don't eat. And I'm going, okay, well, first of all, you got to stop with all these courses because there's too much time in between. It's too much. They honestly believe they ate way back at the fruit cup. And
right, exactly.
I said, let's stop. First of all, let's take all this silverware off. They don't need all this silverware. So one piece of silverware, and let's set the napkin on their lap when they sit down so they don't even have to think about that because it is so much kinder. And then let's have one plate of food, but we can put food at the 6 o'clock, the 12 o'clock, the 3 o'clock, and the 9 o'clock position, and then all we do is we're standing there having a conversation. The dining staff should never turn their back on them. They should be having a conversation about their meal. And then when they eat the 6 o'clock, they just turn the plate, and all of a sudden, that without them having to think, the next course is right there. There's no time in between. So they started using that, and it was like a miracle because it was just simply allowing that person to not have to think and then enjoy the food. Let them have the opportunity to enjoy in the moment without having to think about, is this the right silverware? Is this the right response? Is this what I like? You know, all of those questions we should be answering for them. So that is just a perfect example. And I even teach in-home care to do that when they're doing one-on-one. We need to be having engagement when they're eating. That's what's going to help. You know, I don't particularly like to go to a restaurant and eat by myself. I do it because I'm traveling, but it's much more enjoyable when you have someone there that you're comfortable with. And you don't necessarily need them to be having a conversation, but just the presence of us, that care staff, that dining staff, just the presence that they're engaged with them. And that's the part that a lot of times people don't take into account. So I'm sure you see that, but that overcrowding of plates and too much information on that plate, you know, I know in one of your examples that you had sent over where you switched to a rectangle so you could separate the foods for a cleaner look. I mean, that's brilliant. You're thinking for them. And then the small mason jar and then put ketchup in the bottom and stand the fries in it. They don't have to think. They just eat. That should be our whole goal.
Exactly.
So brilliant.
And even the colors of the plates or, you know, certainly not any patterns or anything can also have an effect on, you know, how they see the food or experience the food as well. So there's a lot of things that go into that experience, as you know, Laura, and those little things like you just shared helping that community, more people need to have that experience of seeing how quickly that can help the residents with those small things.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking about color of plates, I know there was, for a while, there was a dining service that a lot of people used in memory care, and they would buy this program, and they would use paprika-colored plates. And I thought, oh, you know, that might be a good idea. And then I was witness one time when I walked into a dining experience at a memory care where they had meatloaf on this plate and they had something else that was paprika-colored. And as I watched them clearing the plate, nobody was eating the meatloaf. You know why? They couldn't see it.
They couldn't see it. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
And so it's not just everybody needs to get white plates, everybody needs to get paprika plates, everybody needs... It is, we must customize this for each individual presentation, for each individual. There were a few people who could see the paprika colored meatloaf, but most of them could not. So we learn, and we have to give ourselves options to do a better thinking job. I know that there's been a lot of talk about, well, the reason why they don't use the utensils is because they need the big fat handles. Well, if they can't process which utensil to use, it's not going to matter if it's a skinny handle or a fat handle.
Not at all.
Yeah, you know, it makes me wonder, Laura, that sounds like a great adjunct to bring in the Dementia Aware, the visual tour. I remember you were talking about doing that with a facility where
and have
the workers put it on in the kitchen and see what it looks like to eat dinner when you have dementia.
that would really snap them out of a coma. Put the goggles on and set them down. I have a new video.
I have a new video that's going to be coming out pretty quick.
Yeah. I have a new video that's coming out pretty quick, and there's this whole segment about what it looks like. How many normal brain functions do you think it takes to decide what silverware to use, what to use salad dressings for, what to use salt and pepper for, what to take? Do you want to drink a water or drink a coffee? Do you want to eat your salad first or do you want to eat your dessert first, which we know most most of the time they want their dessert first, and I don't blame them one bit, but... And then there's the physical things that are going on, too. I know that sweets are very important to someone with dementia because I believe, and there's been a lot of studies done, that their savory taste buds, that they lose those. And, you know, it's part of their loss of normal brain function. And the only ones that they have left are those real salty or real sweet. And so that's the only thing they can taste. So we have to take that into consideration and still be able to give them nutrition. Have you noticed that at all, Rhonda, in kind of your observations?
Yes. Sweets do seem to be popular. And so, you know, we don't want them to, you know, just be eating a lot of sugar. We focus on sugar-free or no sugar added desserts. So that, you know, they're a little healthier, but they still can satisfy that sweet tooth. And and yet their sugar intake doesn't go through the roof.
Go through the roof, right.
Right. And, you know, also having snacks around on the counters or around the dining area where the residents seem to move, you know, and they like to move around, and if you have additional opportunities for them to have something to eat that's not, you know, just totally loaded with sugar or bad snacks, you really need to plan that out and have that as part of the routine, you know, not just a special event, but the way you conduct your daily dining program. And
right.
Some thought needs to go into that as well.
And then there can be even individual challenges with that. I had a resident who had frontal temporal lobe dementia, and so inhibitions were gone. And and this particular person, in this particular community, they would always have baked goods like cookies in the afternoon. They'd have it in a little corner that was kind of like a little coffee corner with all these wonderful baked goods. But this person had no inhibitions and no filters when it came to feeling full, and they just ate and ate and ate, and they were gaining weight, and they would just stand there and eat all the cookies because they had no way to stop themselves from doing that. And
right.
So we had to figure out a plan, because my program is always we do creative interventions. We know we can't stop it, fix it, or change it. We can only manage it. And so we knew we couldn't stop that particular behavior because that was going to cause a lot of agitation. No, you can't have that. And then, but we couldn't take it away completely because that wasn't fair to the other residents. So a balance that we found, which was really interesting, is we found a presentation, because usually they would have the little glass, like, covers, like a cake cover over all of the baked goods so that they were covered. So what we did is we made those so that they were no longer transparent. We opaqued them. So the people that knew it was under there and they could go have that, they would lift and get their baked goods. But as long as that was covered, it was not a trigger for this person to eat it because they didn't see it. And then immediately the minute they'd see it, they'd process it. So there's all these other little nuances when it comes to dining and making sure that everybody's needs are met, because they didn't want to take away that pleasure of those wonderful baked goods for the people that could still manage that on their own. But they didn't also want to make this other person stand out or not allow them to be a part of that whole experience, but just manage it, like I said.
that's such a great example, Laura, of, you know, just changing it so that, you know, it doesn't have to be an agitation, and yet it's still providing that extra service for those who, you know, can certainly enjoy it. So, yeah, that's a great example. I'm glad that came up.
Ms. Peters, when Strategic Dining Services enters a facility for the first time, just share a minute or two about the protocol. How do you approach it as far as getting to understand the culture and the needs and the distinctions within, you know, memory care, you know, for, you know, assisted living and so on?
Sure.
How is that all handled
sure.
by your team?
You know, the very first on-site visit is usually a team, no, not just one person, but a team of people that are there for 2 or 3 days just observing, which is really hard to do when you have a lot of passion for, you know, for your craft. And you see things happening, it's hard not to jump right in. But it's important to observe, to really see the workings of the whole team, you know, not just the kitchen culinary team, the service team, the transportation of the food, the communication of the servers and the kitchen staff. We really do, it's important for us to understand that first. And then we write our observations, but a plan to help the community move in the direction that we've all talked about, you know, that we want to move in. But it's also important that we don't just give them a list of things, here's what we need to correct, and here's, you know, 25 different things or more. That's overwhelming to the staff then. You don't want to overwhelm
right.
them and think that, oh, my gosh, we'll never be able to accomplish all that, which they would, you know, if you try to accomplish too many things at once, you don't move hardly at all. But so then we focus
right.
on 2 or 3 things that will have impact on the residents, positive impact, and we can focus on with the staff until they change how they do it, they change their approach, and it's the way they do it. It's not just, oh, we're doing it because Strategic is here. No, that's the way we do
right.
it now, and it's so much better.
And why they have to do it. I know I found that when you get the leadership on board, so I like to go in and do a whole leadership training about this different perspective so that they can all start to think. It's like an organic teaching where they all start to think differently and they start to look for solutions as well. So they don't just rely on me as a dementia expert, and I know that you utilize that as well, because I heard Randy discussing with this ED when I was visiting with him, you know, this is why this will work better for you, and then it kind of then filters from the bottom and the top, and it mm-hmm. helps the younger, less experienced folks know why, you know, well, they just want us to do this the way, and it looks like it's harder. It's not really about that. It's
right.
about the reason why we're going to do this, because it's actually going to make it easier for you in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the outcomes will be better, and, you know, everybody wins in the,
right.
you know, as you're reaching, you know, new goals that you've all kind of established that, hey, look, we really want to get better throughout this, throughout our community, and here's some things we've identified, and here's, well, how we can do it, and here's why it works. And so then we start to work with them to make those changes
yeah.
and show them. We felt if they knew how to do it, they'd already be doing it, or if they understood
right.
how, you know,
you don't know what you don't
the
know.
Residents.
That's right. You don't know
right.
what you don't
so,
know. How do we connect with Strategic
so
Dining Services, by the way? How do we connect with you
oh,
guys?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, our website is strategicdining.com, and our phone number is there. So if there's, you know, dining challenges that people are facing, just give us a call. You can ask for me. Our phone number is also on our website. 888-406-1902. And, you know, again, we customize everything we do. So when we talk to someone, we first listen to, you know, what their current dining program is and what their challenges are, and then we talk about options and how we can help them.
Very good.
And that's such a great way. And I encourage everyone to reach out to Strategic Dining Services. I just have seen the benefits, and I think that together we can, once again, build a team that can really help survive this silent pandemic of dementia and help us to enhance and give appropriate care. Our closing thought for today is exactly what Rhonda was talking about. If you learn to listen for clues as how I feel instead of what I say, you will be able to better understand me. And so I want to close with that. I want to thank you both for being with me today. What a wonderful show. Thank you, Rhonda, and thank you, Scott, so much.
Of course.
Thank you.
All right, thanks
thank
for everyone
so
listening out there. Yeah, and do check out all the archives of some of our other great shows there at Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Till next time, take care and be kind.
You've been listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, featuring Laura Wayman. Get your copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care and connect with Laura at laurawayman.com. And join the Dementia Whisperer's newsletter. Send email questions, ideas, and comments to help@laurawayman.com. And join Laura Wayman on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. This is Scott Cluthy, co-host and executive producer. Join us next time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman.